Hello and welcome to episode 140 of the Veg Grab podcast, titled Bonfires on Plots. And today's date is the 30th of October, 2017. Coming up today, I have a little piece on the diary, like I cover every week. And then I have a little talk on bonfires on the plots. Now, I think I spoke about this last year. There's the firework just gone off, how appropriate. But it's one of these things that at this time of year, we're about to celebrate bonfire night. And I feel that quite often it's the best time to have a bonfire because you're less likely to upset anyone. But I always want to do a bonfire safely and easily and quickly. So I'd like to share it, everything that I do, with you all. But before that, I want to ask everyone listening to participate in a survey. Now, this survey isn't for me, it's for a project called Team Pollinate. I've contacted Team Pollinate just to find out a bit more about this project, and they've replied, and I'll read the email out to you. Team Pollinate is run by Beth Nichols and several researchers at the University of Sussex. They are trying to understand more about how food is grown in urban areas, gardens and allotments across the UK, and how much of this is reliant on pollination by insects. From the survey, they would like to know more about people's motivations for growing their own food, the types of food they grow, and the challenges from pests and diseases, and how we all deal with this. The survey is anonymous and should take 5 minutes to complete. At the end, there is an option to be entered into a prize draw where you could win £50 worth of garden vouchers. Now, I, for one, am very interested in this survey, as it seems to be everything that the Veg Grower podcast is about, growing your own food, etc., etc. I've added links to the website, to this blog post. So if you want to check it out and participate, go check it out at thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk, episode 140, and there'll be a link on there. I'm also hoping to keep in contact with Team Pollinate to find out the results, and hopefully I'll be able to share that with everyone as we go on through. So with that out of the way, I want to discuss a little on the diary. Now, in the evenings, it's actually been quite dark when I got home, so I have not been able to do a huge amount of work after work, apart from watering seedlings and tending to the chickens. And that's going to get worse now that the clocks have changed. Saturday, however, with the daylight, it was great to get outside and do some work. Now, I was on call over the weekend, so I didn't quite get as much done as I would have hoped. However, I did manage to tend to the plants in the greenhouse. These are all the seedlings and they're looking pretty damn good, and hopefully we'll all grow nice and strong. I then spent a bit of time tidying my veg patch. Most of the plants that are still growing there are like chilies and aubergines. They're not really going to do much. I consider cutting them down and composting, but I'm just interested to see how long they're going to last for. Some of the chilli plants that I had in pots, I've moved into the kitchen to try and overwinter. Now, for those of you out there that don't know what overwintering is basically keeping a plant growing over the winter. Now, with chillies, in their natural environment, they are known to grow perennially, so they grow back every year. With the right care, we could actually grow a chilli plant for several years. And my plan with these chilli plants is just to keep them in the kitchen where it's a bit warmer and just keep them on tick over winter. And hopefully come spring, they should bounce into growth quite quickly and produce earlier and get a good head start. Will this work? We'll find out as we go on through. I've also decided it was time to disinfect my bamboo canes. and many of the plastic pots that I'd used. I use a Jay's fluid in a spray bottle. It's easy to use and it sits just inside my shed, so it's at hand at all times. And I just spray this over the canes and pots, leave it for about 5 minutes to do its own thing, and then rinse with clean water. Not sure if the rinsing is completely necessary, but I do it anyway. I'll then just allow them to air dry and then pot away for the winter. Easy, stops diseases from staying on the canes and stuff. So on. Now the Jay's fluid that I use, I've added a link onto the blog post from Amazon. I've used it for years and it's simple and easy to use. Disinfectant works well. It comes in a spray bottle. I don't think it's organic though, so it may not be for everyone. I would like to find an organic thing that works just as well. I'll keep my eye out. Anyway, after this, I then headed off to get some horse manure and took it to the allotment. This horse manure has gone where my strawberry bed is, or is going to be, I should say, and I've just basically poured this on top of the soil. I need a lot more to finish off this bed, but I'm going to build the beds up. And then I'll be planting out the strawberries and next to that the raspberries. With that out the way, I took a walk around my allotment and just took note of everything that I have noticed. Now I noticed that the leaves on the sweet potato plants have started to turn black. That's a good sign. There's only a few that have started to turn, but nonetheless, they means they've started to die back. With the cold nights, I'm not surprised. And that'll mean we will soon be harvesting this year's crop of sweet potatoes. So I'll be pleased to see how they've got on. I'm not expecting as good as last year, but we'll see. After that, I did harvest a few of normal everyday potatoes, the Sapo Myras again. These have done really well this year. I'm pleased with those. I then also harvested a few more leeks. And again, leeks have done really well this year. I will admit I find leeks quite easy to grow and I grow them every year now. But I'm pleased with these this year. Now with these jobs basically done, I had very little time for much else that weekend. So real shame because the weather was fantastic. But I've got to go earn money somehow and it's my job to go when I'm on call. So really, that is the diary taken care of. So I have my little talk on bonfires on the plots. Now, I said in the intro that I discussed this last year, but bonfire night is coming in this coming weekend. So it just feels right to discuss it again. And I do think it's quite a valuable and important thing to discuss. Generally speaking, I have most of my bonfires on the allotment as at home. I've got 4 fireplaces indoors. And if I have anything to burn, it goes in there and keeps us warm. The only thing that I don't really burn in the fireplaces would be diseased foliage, which for me, the main one that I really suffer it from is tomatoes infected with blight. So when I cut these down, they get taken down the allotment to be burned. And that's just from what I do. Now, down the allotment, I burn everything in an old washing machine drum. And this has done me really, really well. In the past, I've had a galvanized garden incinerator. But these are basically a metal bin. But I found these don't last very long. They seem to go rusty almost as soon as they are used. And then the bottom falls out within a year or two at the most. Which just made me feel like these are a bit of a waste of money. The washing machine drum, however, I've used it. I've probably had it a year. I've used it many times. It seems to be lasting a hell of a lot better. And it didn't cost anything as it was from an old washing machine. So I always locate my fire pit in the grassy area just in front of my allotment shed. Just that way I can make sure there's nothing around it that isn't going to catch fire. Then to be extra sure nothing will catch fire, just soak the ground around the pit with water. Gives me that extra sense of security. On top of that, I would always keep two watering cans of water nearby. So if a fire did catch and sink and it got a bit out of hand, I can put the fire out quickly without having to rush off to get anything. And so far, touch wood, I've never had a fire get out of control or had to call a fire brigade. Building a fire itself is so simple. I start with a timber, normally something like shredded paper. And then I'll get the kindling materials, which I start with something quite small, such as twigs or something. Now the paper will catch light easy, very easy, but it burns quick. Twigs will also, they'll catch light easy, not as easy as the paper, but they'll burn a little bit longer. So you're basically feeding the fire here, is what I'm doing. But as I build the fire up, like I said, I've got the tinder, then I'll build the small kindling, I'll build up a bit bigger kindling until all my kindling is ready to go and I've got to the fuel stage, which are what I really want to burn. And this is basically just fueling the fire, building the fire up. So when it burns, it's got that little bit more and a little bit more to catch onto the next stage and so on. Now, with this sort of system, I've never had a trouble getting a fire started. Never. And in this example I'm using in my pit, I've used basically the same entire method when I've been camping and we've had open fires or even in my fireplaces in the house. Just start with a tinder, then move on to small kindling, slightly bigger and bigger, just building up the kindling, the fuel, until you're ready to go. And to light, to get the fire started, I've got a long reach lighter. And I'll just poke that in, get the paper lit. That'll start to burn and everything catches fire. Within 30 seconds it's going. And it's, for me, I found this just so quick and effortless that I've never had a trouble getting a fire going. I was a scout, so it probably comes into it. Now, as the fire burns, it will, of course, burn all the material. And if you've got more material, or if I've got more material that I couldn't fit in, I can just add it as room becomes available. Making sure I don't smother the flames, just adding a little bit at a time, enough that it will burn down. If it's a really hot fire, it will burn anything anyway. What do I burn? Well, I burn anything that can't be composted. Diseased plant matter, or big pieces of wood such as pallet remains that are down the allotment and I haven't got to take home. However, everything must be dry before it's burnt. So if we use the tomato plants that I used in the example, I'd basically leave them to sunbathe for a couple of weeks until they're nice and dry and crispy. And then they will just burn so easy. Something I've discovered over the years also, sunflower and Jerusalem artichoke stems. Once they're dried out, they are really good for tinder and kindling. They seem to catch a flame very, very easily. They burn pretty fast and hot. And basically, because I've discovered this, every year I'm growing these and I harvest the stalks for that reason, as well as the food source they give. So it's worth thinking about, bearing in mind if you're going to do this sort of thing. I do not burn anything that might give us lots of smoke or nasty gases. Plastic is a great example of what not to burn. That'll burn, it'll give off this horrible thick black smoke that stinks. It'll make you take your breath away. It's horrible. Do not do it. Green wood, wood that has just been cut fresh, can also give quite a smoky atmosphere. So I don't use that either. I like to leave that to dry out. I also have never, ever used petrol to start a fire. I've never needed to because I just have been able to do it. But petrol is also very flammable and it will ignite the fumes, not just the fuel. It's not a pleasant sight. And there's a very good chance you will get yourself splashed with petrol and that will also ignite and not be pleasant. I remember a few years ago, there was a woman who decanted some petrol from one can to another in her kitchen and she had a gas cooker on the go at the time. As she was decanting it, the fumes caught fire and that I'm guessing that probably the instant reaction in it. Anyway, the fumes caught fire and she ended up in hospital with some nasty burns. And that is just shows how flammable petrol fumes are. Now, I never left a fire burning unattended. I'll wait for it to completely burn out. As the ash can be used in the garden as a soil amendment, it needs to be kept dry. So, like with my pit, I place a metal lid over the top once everything has burned down and extinguished. This lid keeps the ash dry while it still cools down. I then also like to go round the outside, the ground around the pit, with more water, just to make sure nothing is alight that I can't see or smouldering. And that's it. Now, one last final note I've got here is that not all allotments do allow fires and possibly not even gardens. So please check your allotment rules or your bylaws first. So that is it for this week. I'm going to wrap up now. If you have anything to add, please get in touch and I'd love to hear from you. But until next time, please take care and I shall speak to you all again next time.